As the weeks begin to pass, now that the obligation has been reinstated, it's so good to see familiar faces that have been missing from our pews finally able to return to church now that the pandemic is waning. And I'm especially happy to see Deacon Dave Barrett. Let's hear it for him. Yes. Yeah. Welcome, Deacon. I believe you and your wife just celebrated your 67th wedding anniversary on May the 22nd, so that's quite something. Yes. All I can say is she must have been a child bride because she's very young. Okay. And speaking of weddings, we also have some newlyweds. They were just married in this church right here less than 24 hours ago. Let's have Mr. and Mrs. Tyler and Nora Simkowski stand up and let's hear it for them. Yeah. Wow. Must have been some party if you're able to be back in church before noon the next day. I'm just saying. Usually on the Feast of Corpus Christi, I feel that I'm preaching to the choir. I'm telling people who already know about the Eucharist what the church teaches about the Eucharist, when really, a homily from a priest on Corpus Christi is more intended for those who don't come here, for those who won't come here, for those who don't believe. But recent studies have shown priests like me that we have our work to do right here in this church, right here in these pews, because there are some sitting among us who neither know nor believe what we celebrate today on this Feast of Corpus Christi. Make sure you get a copy of the bulletin when you go out today, because I cite an August 5th, 2019 study from the Pew Research Center that shows us that the church and the people in it has either a total lack of knowledge or a total lack of faith. Listen to this. Of the people who attend Mass regularly in the Catholic Church in America, 69% of Catholics believe that at Mass, bread and wine do not become the body and blood of Jesus, but instead symbols of the body and blood of Jesus. 69%, 7 in 10, more than two-thirds, most of the people in the Catholic Church do not believe what's about to happen here today and what happens in this Mass and every Mass, wherever the Mass is being celebrated. 7 in 10 do not believe that downstairs in the Divine Mercy, Perpetual Adoration, Eucharistic Chapel, the people are in the presence of Jesus. Instead, they're keeping time with a cookie or a cracker. It's like a Civil War reenactment that we're just remembering something that happened to other people a long time ago that has absolutely nothing to do with me. People have fallen asleep in their faith, and during this pandemic, people have gone and fallen off a cliff. We're here today to remind us that whether you choose to believe it or not, Jesus said, and the church has practiced for 2,000 years, one essential truth. That is the reason why the Eucharist is called the source and summit of our Catholic faith, because in this Mass, on this altar, in every Mass, on every altar, bread and wine do in fact become the real presence of Jesus Christ in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. In the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus said in verse 53, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life within you," he was not reciting a poem. He was not speaking metaphorically. He was not using metaphors and similes. Jesus was speaking the truth. His blood, his flesh, and our eternal life depends on receiving both worthily, reverently, and with faith. And yet what we see here is that there's a crisis in the church. The people are going through the motions. And so the question then becomes, for those who stayed away for all this time and never received the Eucharist for a whole year or more, did you miss Jesus? Jesus sure missed you. But the other question is, why have people returned? Are they returning because they fear going to hell if they don't come to Mass? Or do we come to Mass because we want to go to heaven, not only when we die, but when we come forward to receive the Eucharist, because that's what's really going on here. It's a mystery and it's a miracle. In every Mass, heaven comes to earth, if only for a few moments. But it's not just Jesus that we can look at. It's Jesus in us. It's Jesus going with us when we go back out into this crazy world darkened by the coronavirus and pandemics and political problems and civic unrest and racism and poverty and unemployment and problems in our marriage and problems in our family. When we receive Jesus into us, we take him into all the problems and plights of our human experience. My friends, I hope that Catholics in every parish and our diocese all across our country and in the world this day have come to the feast of Corpus Christi because we believe that we will soon be in the presence of the living God, and his presence will soon be in us and leave here with us. But this study tells us that there's plenty who are here today that will be gone tomorrow, and plenty that were here before the pandemic that aren't coming back because they don't realize what this is, the treasure buried in a field, that pearl of great price that we would do anything and sell everything if only to be able to receive the Eucharist just once. In about 15 minutes, when we have the Blessed Sacrament distributed in Holy Communion this day, myself, the deacon, and two lay people distributing Holy Communion will say hundreds of times, "The body of Christ." It's almost as if we're asking you a question. Do you believe this? Your answer to that question usually is amen. That's Hebrew for, yes, I believe. I think perhaps for some in the Catholic Church, maybe when they come forward to receive Holy Communion and someone says to them, "The body of Christ," they should respond, "Manna." Why? Because it's Hebrew for, what is that? That's what the Hebrews asked when the bread came down from heaven that fed them during the Exodus journey in the desert. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know where it came from. They didn't realize that their life depended on it. And so when God gave them that gift, their only response was, "Thank you, God." No, it was, "What is that? What good is that?" If we believe that Jesus died for us, if we believe that Jesus wants to be with us always, then he chooses to be Eucharist, whether you believe him or not, whether you believe in the Word of God or the Church's teaching or not. That's what's going to happen here in a few minutes, and that's why people should be cramming every church and lining up at the doors. If we found that Elvis was coming back, if we found out that the president was going to visit, there'd be people lining up at the doors to get in. But this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace right here for us, not for his benefit, but for mine, not for his benefit, but for yours. And yet, as I also point out in the bulletin, this is a feast born of doubt, a doubting priest, no less. It was 757 years ago, in the year 1264 AD. A priest from Prague in the Czech Republic named Father Peter was making his way from Prague to Rome, and he wasn't going on a pilgrimage. He was going there because he wanted to ask the Vatican to release him from his priestly vows. Why? Because he had lost his faith. Father Peter no longer believed that when he stood at the altar and said those words that anything special was happening in his hands. He felt like a fraud. He had always felt unworthy to offer the Eucharist, but now he didn't even believe in the Eucharist. 757 years ago, Father Peter was making his journey, and he was almost there, only a day's walk away. And he stopped in the little Italian village of Bolsena for food and lodging. That was a pit stop on the way from plenty of pilgrims from other parts of Europe to get to the Eternal City. And there were thousands in Bolsena that day, 757 years ago. And they saw a priest, and they said, "Offer the Mass for us. We want the Eucharist." That's the last thing that Father Peter wanted to do. He only wanted to eat. He only wanted to sleep and to finish his journey so he could be rid of these priestly vows, all a mythology. And yet, pilgrims are known to be relentless and persistent, and they wouldn't let go of Father Peter until he agreed to go in that chapel and celebrate that Mass. And even though he had no faith in what was about to occur, because he was a validly ordained priest of the Roman Catholic Church, Father Peter said the words, went through the motions, and when the bell rang, bread still became the body of Christ. And that was proven to the doubting Father Peter because that host bled in his hands, down his arms, all across his robes, and all across the altar cloth. The Holy Father at the time, Pope Urban IV, was nearby offering Mass in the cathedral at Orvieto. He heard about this and rushed to get to Bolsena to interview Father Peter and see the blood for himself. And that is when he declared this feast for the church, that of the doubts of the faithful, of the doubts of the faithless, of the doubts of the priest, Father Peter of Prague, a feast of the most holy body and blood of Jesus would be born. How far we've fallen in these 757 years since Father Peter was reinstated to the priesthood and regained his Eucharistic faith, that now 7 in 10 would believe that what happens here is only a symbol and a fellowship and a remembrance rather than the supper of the Lamb. My friends, when you come forward to the Eucharist today, someone's going to say to you, the body of Christ. And you have two choices. You can either say, amen, I believe, or you can say, manna. What is that?